Praise God. Take out your notes. If you're taking notes, I want you to take out your Bible as well. If you have your Bibles, you should all have your Bibles. If you have your Bible on your phone, make sure Instagram is on shutdown. Facebook's on shutdown. Do what you want. No, not Facebook. Eh? We're live there on Facebook at the moment. But open up the Bible app. And I really, you know, when I was seeking the face of God this week, and not that I just do it, you know, when I preach. It's important that it's a lifestyle. It's not a moment. You know, sometimes you make the presence of God an event. And I was there, man, the other day when I was in the presence of God. And I ask you, like, when was that? Your last year, man, was powerful, eh? If I were to ask you what is God saying to you, you should be able to tell me right now what the Lord has said to you this past week. The thing is this, God is always speaking. The question is this, are we listening? Tonight's message, and you can write this down, it's presence versus presence. Write it down, as you can see. Thank you so much to Uzzy and the team for organizing this. Come on, don't you want to give them a shout out right there? Come on, well done, you guys. It is presence, so the presence of God versus presence. Who of you enjoy receiving presents? Be honest though. Put your hand up. I see some of you guys like, nah, I'm not really sure. Yeah, nah. Maybe you were still upset about your Christmas present. Relax, man. Forgive. You've prayed the prayer of salvation. All right, so many of us enjoy receiving gifts. Is it not so? Maybe you're even feeling cute today. You're feeling like a gift. But what I'm wanting to get to is this. Is the emphasis of God's presence in our lives. You see, when you prayed that prayer of salvation, and that's why we couldn't continue with this word today until we gave you that opportunity to receive His presence. To receive the same Spirit. Catch this. You need to catch this with your spirit, everybody. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives on the inside of you. Life-giving power. Life-altering power. Now lives on the inside of you. That means that it doesn't matter what venue you walk into, what room you walk into, where you find yourself, you carry life-giving power. Someone shout this with me and say this with me. I carry life-giving power. Hallelujah. Go with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. You can all go there. I see many of you on Facebook. Put the comment, put this particular text in the comment section on Facebook as well. I carry life-giving power. You carry resurrection power on the inside of you. Exodus chapter 33. Are you all there? If you're there, shout amen. Amen. Please don't look in the New Testament. It's not there. Sure. Hey guys, I see you guys paging through your Bibles. Hey, please. Exodus chapter 33. Someone put it in the comment section on Facebook. See lots of you there right now. Desiree, all of you there. Cynthia Govender, this is what it says here in Exodus chapter 33. And I'm going to read from verse 1. I encourage you. The Bible, according to Hebrews chapter 4, it says this. God's word is what? It is alive and powerful, quick and sharper than any double-edged sword. The question is this. Where are you going to be in 2022? It's been prophesied that in 2022, I'll know what to do. That just doesn't sound like a nice rhyme. It's actually the truth. But the thing is this, you'll only know what to do by the word of God. You'll only know what to do if you give God's word preeminence in your life. And the way that He reveals it to you is by His presence. In Exodus chapter 33, if you're all there, I want you to start reading. If we can start reading from verse 1, it says this. The Lord said to Moses, now that you have brought these people out of Egypt, lead them to the land I solemnly promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them long ago that I would give this land to their descendants. And I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Thank God I got those right. Many ites and sites. Sites. Theirs is a land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not travel along with you, for you are stubborn, unruly people. Hey, maybe you know someone stubborn and unruly. If I did, I would be tempted to destroy them along the way. When the people heard these stern words, catch this, they went into mourning and refused to wear their jewelry and ornaments. Verse 5, for the Lord had told Moses to tell them, you are an unruly, stubborn people. If I were there among you for a moment, I would destroy you. Remove your jewelry and ornaments until I decide what to do with you. Man, we serve a very real God. And let me tell you, the reverential fear of God has to come back to the church. the fear of God has to come back. And that fear is rooted in perfect love. You could say, but Jade, what do you mean? You know, God can just strike me dead at any moment. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. It's a reverential fear, knowing that, Lord, I love you and I'm going to obey your word and I'm going to live my life wholeheartedly consecrated unto you because I know that I want your presence to go with me wherever I go. You see, you may be listening to this right now and you're a business person. You may be listening to this right now as a student, whether at varsity, whether you're at school, wherever you find yourself, because you carry the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, there are people placing demands on you every day. Did you know that? How many of you walked past someone today? Maybe they were wearing your shoes, so you're like, mm-hmm. Maybe they had like a foot very similar to yours, and maybe you're dripping, you're like, yo, woo-woo. And then you saw them, you're like, ah. Or maybe you went onto Instagram and you saw someone's post and you're like, sure. And internally you're like, shah. Verse 6, it says, so for the time they left Mount Sinai, the Israelites wore no jewelry. It was Moses' custom to set up the tent known as the tent of meeting far outside the camp. Everyone who wanted to consult with the Lord went there. Someone shout presence. Someone shout presence. Whenever Moses went out of the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in their tent entrances. They would watch Moses until he would disappear inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Just picture that. A cloud. I mean, just for a few seconds. I mean, you at home right now, wherever you are, just picture that. Moses gone in, cloud comes down. Have you ever seen a cloud descend? Maybe if you're doing drugs, man, I don't know. A cloud descended. The glory of God, the very glory of God would come down. The thing is this, isn't it so beautiful to think that the very same spirit, catch this. We don't need a visible, the Bible says, blessed are those who believe, yet they do not see. Today, God's spirit lives on the inside of you. We don't have to stand outside a tent. We don't have to stand outside a church building. We can go into all the world and make disciples of all nations because we carry life-giving power on the inside of us. Someone shout presence. Then all the people would stand and bow low at the tent. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Glory to God. As a man speaks to his friend. Afterwards, he would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua son of Nun, stayed behind in the tent of meeting. I want to ask you this question today. Do you have a secret place? And I want you to write that down. Do I have a secret place? Do you have a secret place? And I'm not talking about a man cave. I'm not talking about your phone. Your phone is not a secret place. If it is, it's dangerous. You must throw it away. Crush it underfoot. Some of you guys are like, iPhone 13 Pro Max. Yeah. Do you have a secret place? Psalm 91 is very clear. You see, we quote Psalm 91 in COVID-19 days. Remember that? Yo, everyone's quoting Psalm 91. Psalm 91, man. Yo, I'm standing on that word, eh? But then you're sneaking out after curfew. Still standing on Psalm 91. You understand? These are real things. Everyone was quoting Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place, he who dwells under the shadow of the Most High God shall say of the Lord. It's not about visiting. See, many times we just visit the secret place when we need something. We visit his presence when we need something. Someone shout presence. We visit his presence when we need something. Oh man, Lord, right now, you know, God, you know, I'm just coming to you right now. You know, it's been a tough week. Things have been difficult. We visit his presence. He doesn't want us to visit because he lives on the inside of us. He dwells on the inside of us. That means at any time when a demand is placed, you're like, Lord, I'm ready. Here I am. Send me. Let me go into all the world and make disciples. For the Bible declares this, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You should get excited about that because as you lay hands on the sick, those who are once dead come back to life. I'm sorry if I'm shouting at you, but I tell you, I have life-giving power living on the inside of me. Someone shout presence. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people out up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You call me by name and tell me I have found favor for you. Please if this is really so, show me your intentions so I will understand. See, sometimes the Lord will ask you to do something that you don't understand. It doesn't have to make sense in the natural. But when you're led by the Spirit of God, understand, He will lead you by His Word. And wherever He leads you by His Word, He leads you into triumph. He leads you into victory. He leads you into success. You can never finish last when you put God first. Write that down. And say it from your mouth right now. I can never finish last when I put God first. As arrogant as that sounds, man, you are always winning. By faith, catch this. By faith, you are never losing. You are never losing. You are either winning or you're learning. You're never losing. In other words, because victory has already been won. We're called to fight the good fight of faith, but we fight from a place of victory. We fight from a place of knowing that the same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead now lives on the inside of me. So I am victorious in Christ. And yes, there may be challenges, but I'm not defeated. I see someone stepping up and stepping over in Jesus' mighty name. It's time to step up. I want you to get up on your feet in this place right now. Step up to your next level. Step up to your next level in the Spirit right now. I want you to step up to your next level. Step up to your next level. By the Spirit of God, I want you to step up to your next level. Holy Ghost inspired, step up to your next level. If you need to step on a chair, don't step on someone. Step up to your next level. Hallelujah. You're going up. Look at someone next to you and say, I'm going up by the Spirit of God. Glory. You can take your seats. And the Lord replied, catch this. And this is where I want to zone in today. Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. And I want to read it particularly in the King James Version. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. And I will give thee rest. In the New Living Translation says, and the Lord replied, I will personally go with you. Moses, I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Everything will be well for you. Everything will be well for you. Whatever challenges you may have faced, those are there. While you are in this world, there will be trials and tribulation. There will be challenges. In fact, you've probably heard us say this before and we'll say it again. It is biblical to be challenged. It is unbiblical to be defeated. Because defeat is not your portion in Jesus' name. If defeat's not your portion right now, I want you to clap some hands for Jesus. Give Jesus praise. If you're victorious in Christ, come on, give Jesus some praise. Glory. Now, I want to give you some keys quickly. Because, I mean, I know we always do keys. Keys open doors. What do keys do? They open doors. If you've lost a bunch of keys, who have you ever lost a bunch of keys? There was a bunch for a reason. That's why you lost them. I'm going to give you two keys. quick keys. You can write these down. And these keys are literally just characteristics that are indicative of God's presence in your life. Because catch this. Just like Jesus, we find this in Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 20. You don't have to write this text down. You can make reference to it. Jesus did nothing without the Holy Spirit. His actual ministry, catch this, his ministry started by him being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4 verse 14 to 20, it says this. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now you could think today, but Jade, you know what? I've got the power of Instagram. I've got the power of the gram, man. I'm pushing, bro. I got the power, man. I'm a chartered accountant. Uncle Greg, I see you at the back there, man. I'm qualified. In a worldly sense, yes. But let me tell you, when you have a revelation of who you carry on the inside of you, your countenance is different. You may be a professional in the natural, but you become a supernatural professional in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Man, I never thought for one second I'd be preaching on global television. When I was at school, you know those cue cards that you do orals with? Yeah, man, I used to shake. I thought, man, what's wrong with me, man? I would stand like... Man, but when you have a revelation of who you carry, see, your countenance will reveal the reality you're more aware of. Let me ask you today, what reality are you aware of? Are you aware of the presence? You know, I have 20 new followers, it's a present. Or are you aware of the presence of God upon your life? Because when you're aware of that, your countenance is different. You walk with holy boldness. You run with holy boldness. You don't stay in one place. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 20, and I'm going to get to those keys, relax. So you guys are like, get me those keys. Jesus begins his Galilean ministry. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And the news of him, I don't think there would have been news should Jesus not have returned with the power of the Spirit. There would have been fake news. Maybe there have been some gossips. He returned in the power of the Spirit, and the news of him spread everywhere. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Now in Luke chapter 4, 1, 8, we know that text so well. How God, catch this, so beautiful. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. You have been anointed, but you've not been anointed to sit down and observe. There are too many observers. I'm going to sit down, so let me cue the camera. There are too many observers in the Spirit. And praying, man. You know those ones? You're praying. You're going blue in the face. You are doing all these things that the Christian stuff to do, but you're not going. You're not getting up and doing something with what you have. Because I tell you what, there's a new generation rising up that will look with the power of God on the inside of them, and that are going to run. If you're going to run right now, I want you to get up on your feet and begin to run around this place, because you run with the fire of God. Hallelujah. You're going to run. I can't stand still. I can't stay in one place. You see, just like Moses in the book of Exodus, they were going somewhere. By faith, faith does not stay still. Faith doesn't stay stagnant. Faith doesn't stay in one place. But the Holy Ghost empowers you by faith to supernaturally move to your next level. You can't stay silent. You can't stay in one place. There are way too many observers, but you're not an observer. You will do what the Lord says you should do. Go ye therefore into all the world. Those keys. See, when God's presence has preeminence in your life, write this down. The first one is this. And you can put it in the comment section. I see Rosalie, Ricardo, Brian Vanguard on Facebook, Manika, Cynthia Governor, Neo, all of you on DSTV right now. I see many of you on Facebook, all of you right now, running with the fire. When God's presence has preeminence in your life, what does it mean to have preeminence? It means it's the first before the first. What does that even mean? Does that even make sense? In other words, Lord, when I wake up in the morning, it's good morning, Holy Spirit. What is it that you have for me to do today? What is it that you're saying to me today? This is what will happen. The first key is this. His hand of provision, his hand of protection, and his hand of promotion is on your life. It's on your life because it's inside of you. You could say, Jay, but I just feel ordinary. You're not ordinary. You're not ordinary. And here's the thing. Every time you open up the Word of God, you realize that you're not ordinary. You realize that you're not your past. You realize that you're not your family. You realize that you're not who you used to be. You are who God says you are. It says this in Psalm chapter 35, verse 27 to 28. This is so beautiful because every time I think of who we are in Christ, I rejoice. The Bible says, let them shout for joy, them that favor my righteous cause. Psalm chapter 35, verses 27 to 28. Let them shout for joy, them that favor my righteous cause. What is God's righteous cause? His indwelling presence living on the inside of you, inspiring you by his word. That's his righteous cause. Let them shout for joy, them that favor my righteous cause. For the Lord delights in your prosperity. Someone say that after me. The Lord delights in my prosperity. The second thing is this. He causes you to be a wonder to the world. The world will look at you and say, why? How come? Why you? I know you. I know where you come from. I know who you used to be. You see, the world will call you by who you used to be. Christ calls you by who you are today. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror. You are victorious in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. But you see, the thing is this. Where will your focus be? If your countenance reveals the reality you're more aware of, if you're more aware of the presence, you know, what you can get from God, what you can get. Give me. My name is Jimmy. Let me just put in one obedience coin of obedience, you know, one coin of obedience, and then pull the Christian lever, and hopefully something comes through. Or you live by the presence of God, being inspired by the holy presence of God in obedience 24/7. Obedience is not an event. It's a lifestyle. And it's still hella woke to be obedient. It still flames to be obedient. Who of you had an opportunity this week to sin? Be honest. I put my hand up, put my legs up, put everything up. I can even make a backflip. You had an opportunity this week to sin. Be honest. Some of you guys are like, man, I'm perfect, man, Jay. No, not me, man. You had an opportunity to sin, but you chose not to. You chose to obey. You know what that means? God, obedience will always pay you. Obedience will always pay you. Sin will cost you your life. Sin will cost you your life. And you look back and be like, why? I should have just obeyed His presence instead of expecting a present. Maybe there was someone in your DMs that message requests. Oh, you're out of data. Oh, wow. Wow. Glory. So now let me jump to these here. Are you being blessed today? Glory. Someone shout presence. Two keys to living in total awareness of God's presence. The first one is this, and I've already alluded to this, and I believe it's critically important in every single one of our lives. Do you have a secret place? So the first one is this, the secret place. You see, for the longest time, you could say, but nobody sees me, Jade. Nobody knows me. Yes, I've got 10,000 followers on Instagram. Nobody sees me. You still feel insignificant. You know, you could get to 10,000, you get to 100,000, you could get to whatever and still feel like, man, I should do more. You understand? It's a perpetual cycle of never being good enough. But in Christ, by the Spirit of God, you're always more than enough. Let that be the change that someone is changing. I see that getting that revelation today that you are more than enough in Christ. You are more than enough. The secret place. Psalm 91, you can all turn there quickly. I want us to go there because I want to show you something that's so beautiful from this text. And every time I read it, and I get teary-eyed, because I'm reminded of the reality that God has for every single one of us. Psalm 91, and it says this, those who live in the shelter of the Most High God, not those who visit, not those who occasionally travel there, not those who go there when in trouble, not those who go there when they really are with their backs against the wall, they dwell there. You see, today we don't have to go to a place, a church. Yes, it's great to be together, gathered together corporately. We carry His Spirit on the inside of us. We don't need a man of God to go before us. We carry His Spirit on the inside of us. We carry, as you've said before, life-giving power. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High God will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare of the Lord. This is what you can declare of the Lord when you dwell in His presence. Not visit. You see, when you're visiting, who of you have ever visited someone's house? You don't open their fridge. Be honest. Hey, maybe you're just on another level. I don't know. You don't go and touch things in their house. Is it not so? You're very cautious about what you open. But when you visit the Lord, when you dwell in the house of the Most High God, catch this. The Bible says that He sets before you a table in the presence of what? Of your enemies. Man, there's a whole feast. But some of us are visiting, so now we're too scared to touch things in God's house. Like, oh, man. When you are in His presence, because you carry that Spirit on the inside of you, everything about you changes. What is your countenance? What does it show? You walk confidently. You're confident. You go into a boardroom, there's professionals there. You even walk in with some, you know, you're like, yeah, come on, man, just bring it on. I'm ready. Let me show you what the Lord has showed to me. Let me show you the blueprint. This I shall declare of the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting in Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from the fatal plague. Verse 4. He shall shield you with His wings. He will shelter you with His feathers. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? That when you dwell in that secret place, when you cultivate an intimate, real relationship with God by saying, Lord, I just want to be more. I just want more of your presence. Saturate me with more of your presence. Give me a fresh fire. As we were singing, a fresh outpouring. Pour your spirit out on me so that I can go into all the world. Let me burn for you. A man of God once said this, those who are intimate with God are not intimidated by man. Those who are intimate with the Father. And where does that intimacy start? In the secret place. In the secret place. Where you are with Jesus at his feet. Surrendering your all to him. And watching him lift you up. Strengthen you so that when you go out in his spirit and in his power. So the secret place is characterized by this, by prayer and fasting. For us as the ministry, we've been fasting for this past week. Praying. See, if you're not praying, if you're not praying for your generation, see, if you're prayerless, you're powerless. The enemy will sift you. You know, you can pick up when someone is serious about prayer. You can pick up when someone has been in the secret place praying. They pray different. They don't go into prayer recognizing themselves as someone who's defeated. They pray with authority because they know a price was paid over 2,000 years ago so that I can pray bold, victorious prayers. Thou shalt declare a thing and it shall be established. The second key or second characteristics of being in the secret place is remaining and abiding. Why leave? See, if you've made the secret place a place, an event, you'll wonder why you're constantly leaving in and out. But when you have a realization that wherever I am, there's a secret place. That wherever I am, right now, I can go into the secret place. I can go and visit. I can right now say to the Lord, Lord, I just want to have more of you. I just want to be where you are. See, the Bible says, draw near unto him and he will draw near. But too many of us in this time, in this place that we find ourselves in, and maybe you're stepping into January, into February, but you're like, man, January has been so tough. Draw near. Seek his presence. Seek his presence. Seek him more. Call unto me, the Bible declares, and I will answer, and I will show you great and mighty things that are to come.